Hello, pilgrims. Greetings on your Thursday, the 12th of November in the year 2020. It's Pastor Bob bringing you episode 4 of our Gift of Gratitude series. And today we'll make a stop hearing about Paul's lessons from lockdown, how Paul could speak so eloquently and sincerely about how grateful he is for all things as he sits in prison, in lockdown, unable to preach and teach and share and roam the Holy Land setting up churches. But yet, he's just as grateful because he knows that where he is, in this moment, God is still working through him all the time. That's quite an attitude of gratitude. Amen. And we'll be hearing from our guest speaker. Our guest speaker today is Philip Dawson, who is a pastor. I'm sure he's got a good Anglican title. At St. Stephen Walbrook Church in London, England. So you're going to hear a little British accent today from Philip Dawson, but he's a wonderful speaker. He'll speak for about 7.5 minutes, just so you know, on Paul's lessons from lockdown. Maybe tomorrow we'll debrief or decompress on that same topic. So listen closely and make any notes or comments you wish to. Assuring you that we are spiritually prepared for this journey today, we have the monks chanting in the background. We have the cinnamon cider candle still going strong. And we have this. That's right, the Bigelow Cinnamon Blackberry Herbal Tea. Just straight up. Doesn't need anything. Cinnamon Blackberry Herbal Tea. Woo! All right, so we are ready. I hope you're ready. Let us begin here, and we will quiet the monks, and we will hear from Philip Dawson on Paul's lessons from lockdown, and we'll come back with a prayer from Mary Oliver. All right.
Hello, and welcome to our Start-Stop Reflection. My name is Philip Dawson. At morning prayer this week, our New Testament readings are taken from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. The letter was written while Paul was being held for an extended period under house arrest in either Ephesus or Rome. But despite his personal circumstances, there are no grumbles here, only gratitude. Every section of the letter is overflowing with joy. Paul explains how the restrictions of life under lockdown seem to be opportunities, not obstacles. Even the fake news some are spreading about the gospel doesn't seem to get him down. From St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And for most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I've been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. Last week we went to visit friends in our support bubble, one of whom recently had a nasty fall. Being in their company is always a great joy, and despite the circumstances, this visit was no exception. They're generous hosts and enjoy sharing good food and wine. Their house is dotted with photographs from the many trips around the world. Accomplished raconteurs, they will often choose to sit at large tables rather than alone, so that they can share their stories and make new friends. This, of course, all came to rather an abrupt end in March. There are certainly no Luddites and have embraced internet shopping, streamed concerts online to their TV, and have kept going as many of their interests during the lockdown as it is possible to do via Zoom. But it would be impossible to claim that life has not changed, and seemingly, for them, for the worst. How then, I asked, have they remained so upbeat? The key, they explained, is getting into the right frame of mind, seeing all the ups and downs of life through the lens of what is really important. As a fellow Globetrotter, you might have expected St. Paul to have found life in lockdown especially difficult. As the biblical scholar Tom Wright explains, Paul was a human dynamo, achieving more in his short 10-year ministry than most of us could dream of doing in a lifetime. Surely the last thing that someone who'd found their calling as a travelling preacher would have wanted to do would be to spend years chained up under house arrest, and with grim prospects for the future. As Paul makes clear in his letter to the church in Philippi, a likely outcome of his eventual trial would be his death. Yet Paul is uncompromisingly upbeat. He isn't in denial that his circumstances have changed, but he hasn't allowed this new and unforeseen outlook on life to overshadow his priority to preach the gospel. He's adapted to life in lockdown, seeing obstacles as opportunities. Being chained to a different soldier each shift has meant that the whole Imperial Guard has come to learn of the reasons for Paul's imprisonment, his belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. Many Christians, Paul says, have been strengthened by his example, becoming more confident in their own proclamation of the gospel, although he leaves it to us to imagine how. There are others who seem to be preaching a false gospel, fake news about Jesus, perhaps motivated by a desire to increase Paul's suffering. But even here, Paul sees the positive side. At least they're talking about Jesus, even if their testimony is false. Paul neither lets his unfortunate circumstances nor the cynical put-downs of other people rob him of joy. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the first church he founded in Europe, is an extended thank you note. Prisoners like Paul relied on gifts of money to buy food, and the Philippians seem to have sent a generous donation. But the main purpose of the letter seems to be to reveal Paul's secret to living a joyful life under lockdown. Like our friends in our support bubble, Paul knew that the secret is being in the right frame of mind, seeing all the ups and downs of life through the lens of what is really important. For Paul, there was nothing more important than Christ, his saving work, and the promise of eternal life with him. We know from Paul's other letters that he wasn't always full of joy. He was under no illusions about the real pain and suffering he experienced. But while his feelings may have come and gone, his belief in Christ, his singular state of mind, never wavered. He appeals to the Philippians to learn to do likewise. He writes, "Make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." He goes on to explain that this singular perspective is not only cerebral, but physical. "It is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." This singular perspective frames our actions, heart and mind and voice, in unity, guiding our lives as we seek to serve Christ by serving others, wherever we are, and whatever life throws at us. As Tom Wright explains, we need to learn from Paul the art of seeing God's purposes working out through problems and difficulties. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul reveals the secret of living a joyful life under lockdown. As we fear the effects of changing circumstances, or find ourselves on the receiving end of the sharp tongues of others, let us keep our hearts and minds and voices set on the changelessness of God, the loving words of his Son, and the comforting presence of his Spirit. No one can rob us of the joy of Christ.
All right. Beautiful. Boy, that's probably something worth listening to a few times today. Philip Dawson is so good. I mean, each sentence is its own little nugget, you know, of spiritual truth, and just amazing. So, let us move on to our poem for today from Mary Oliver, entitled today, The Journey. The Journey by Mary Oliver. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began. Though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough, in a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. The Journey by Mary Oliver. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began. Though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do. Though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible, it was already late enough, in a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. Amen. Well, this concludes episode 4 today on your blessed Thursday. We had a wonderful discussion last night on our discussion group Zoom meeting. I strongly urge you, if you're not participating, to join us for that, even just as a wallflower in the back corner and listen in on this amazing discussion. It brings everything that we hear and consider on these audio recordings, it brings them to wholeness, to life. And I pray that for everyone. And I pray that today you experience wholeness and life, even life abundant. In the name of Jesus. Amen.